Ushers, you may take your seat. Allow me a liberty first, a housekeeping, a chore. There will be a funeral next Saturday at Mount Zion at 11 o'clock. Mr. Robert Knight. Funeral will be at Mount Zion at 11 o'clock, so do what you can to support that family. Because we will be in need ourselves. I read to you Mark 11, chapter 11, chapter verse 24, I think is what it was. And I was selfish when I read that, because that's where I am, where we need to be when we talk with our Creator. We need to talk to Him, expecting Him to do what we ask, because He's our Father and He looks after us. Thought of several things to talk about, and I ended up in those verses that were read in your hearing. For our subject, I surrender all. Didn't say you surrender. Didn't say I surrender some. I surrender 95%. Said I surrender all. Didn't talk about nobody else. Just me. I surrender all. I was thinking, and I said, if I was Deacon Brunson, and I was going to do this message, I would sing a song. Lord, you done brought me that where I am, you brought me. What I am, you made. But then I said, I surrender all. All that I have, I give it to you. And I say that, and the next nanosecond, something comes to mind that I have not given him. And when I think that I have surrendered all to him, 35 years down the road, some of you say, I ain't 35. Keep living. Something else will come up that you have not surrendered to him. And guess what? Yeah. You got to do it. You got to surrender it to him. Because one of the first laws that Moses brought down that he broke was saying, thou shalt have no other God before me. And if you haven't surrendered everything to him, you got, yeah, something in front of him. In this passage of scripture, Jesus was trying again to get the disciples ready for what's coming. A new stage was now launched by Jesus, getting them ready for his leaving. The words from this time forth were plainly than ever before, and without reserve, Christ revealed that the Son of the Living God was going to be killed and raised again from the dead. Never before had such a phenomenal of an event happened. And guess what? Never again would it happen. History would be made. Jerusalem that killed the prophet was going to commit the ultimate crime. They were going to kill God's own son. Lord, I surrender all. Christ had already been telling his disciples about his death and resurrection for some time. But they had not understood it. There were some reasons why they were blind, because the idea of a suffering Messiah didn't really get into their mind. If you're going to be the Messiah, nobody is going to kill you. You're going to live forever because you're going to conquer all things. And the second thing that happened to them, the revelation that Jesus was going to be killed and resurrected again, had been hidden from them in parables and in symbols. They were not able to see it and grasp it in its full meaning. God's Messiah was going to deliver a materialistic world into the hands of his followers. See, that's what us, the church, don't understand. God's people should be in possession of all of God's blessings. But we did like our father, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. Gave it to the trickster. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I didn't have anything to give him. Yes, you did, and yes, you do. You got your soul. That's the most valuable thing that's in this earth. God's Messiah was going to die. And through death, he was going to usher in the kingdom of God and make it possible for his followers to live eternally in the very presence of God himself. Through death, we will be able to live in the presence of God. Through the death of God's own son, me, a sinner, will be able to live in the presence of God. My little feeble mind, I can't imagine how that would be. But I know it's going to be wonderful because of what he said, worshiping and praising him all the day long. We get tired after 35 minutes. I get you got up there at 12:15. You ought to be through by now. But how are we going to worship him all the day long if we don't practice, if we don't get used to doing it? Oh, I ain't going to keep y'all here to 5 o'clock. I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying, we ought to just praise him because of where he done brought us from. And I surrender everything about me to him. Some of us won't surrender because we hate to think for somebody else to think that they are in charge of us. But I stop by to tell you, if you don't surrender to Jesus, you still got a master. And you will be with him if you don't. You will go. You will be with him or away from him. You will be with God or you will be away from God. You will surrender to God or you will surrender to the devil. One of the two. And guess what? It's your choice. And you can't halfway do it. You got to surrender all of it. And all in the Bible does mean all. All. Not part of it. All of it. And the 35 years down the road, to you, you have surrendered it, but you have not arrived at that place. When you arrive at that place, you will surrender it all to him. The disciples was beginning to grasp the fullness that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. They had taken a great leap forward in their understanding of his nature. Just who he really was. And I'll look at you and tell you that don't you think harsh of them that haven't been around him almost 3.5 years and didn't really know who he was. Some of us been in church 35, 40, maybe even 50 years and still don't understand and don't know who he is. Because we fail to develop an intimate relationship with Jesus. You have to, in order to surrender to him, you have to become intimate with him, get up close and personal, and know everything about him that you can possibly know. Because he knows everything about you. And he yet loves you. No matter how wicked my sin were, he still loves me. I surrender all. Just got 2 points. 2. I know that's strange, but 2. 2. Point number 1. Jesus' death demands the total commitment of a people or an individual. Point number 1. Jesus' death demands total commitment of a man or a woman. A person must will to follow Christ. The word will means to have a desire, a wish, a determination to do what is in front of you. What you said you were going to, if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to make up your mind. Don't allow somebody else to make it up for you. Don't come because of emotions. Because the emotion will fade. A lot of us and to those young people that are here, a lot of us, and just like you, we became members of the church because they were having revival. Mama and Papa made me sit on the mourner's bench all the way down front. And my friend who joined last year is way back there in the back. And I say in my young mind, how can I get out from up here? Oh, Joe is not up here. So all I got to do is just, when they give the invitation, just go up there and join the church. A lot of these grown folks up here laughing. You know why? They did too. But see, it has to become more than that. Everybody's not like that. And sometimes we do that and we use it, my friend did it, as an excuse so you won't think that I'm a little wimp because I joined the church. Some of them actually mean it. Because in their eyes, they don't see God like you see him. Because you are older and you have been through more stuff and you have done more sin than they have. This free. This ain't in my notes. But you got to allow them to come and nurture them and bring them along. And the reason why, that's what they did for you. You have to do that. You have to have a will in their mind. They want to serve God. They want to do what's right. So therefore, we got to train them and show them how to live for God. And don't you one time think, they're not watching you. They are watching. They ain't going to tell you because you don't tell them you're watching them. They're not going to tell you that they're watching you. We have to make a deliberate choice to follow Christ. If a person really wills and deliberately chooses to follow Christ, then he or she has to do some things. The choice that they make, they have to voluntarily make that choice by themselves. If mama, papa, somebody force you to, no, that's not you. But if you come of your own free will and accord, even if you don't know why you're coming, but you just come anyhow, God will take that and use that, and you will grow and you will receive the word of God because you came of your own free will and accord. Everybody that surrenders to Christ, it has to be your choice. Mama and Papa may think they made you, but you just glad they think they made you and they'll leave you alone, but you came. You wanted to come anyhow. You wanted an excuse to come. So they made you come, so you came on. But the choice is yours. You had to make it for yourself. You're the only somebody that can make it. It's your individual will, and you have to decide that you're going to follow Christ. You have to be committed to following Christ. Your lifestyle will have to change. You'll change it, but you won't recognize or realize that you're changing. All of us must make this choice, and we must live this life, and you must live as such so Christ would be pleased with you. A person must deny himself, deny self or herself, if they are going to be totally committed to Christ. The word deny means to disown. Disregard, renounce, reject, refuse. Do without. Very simply, it means to say no. But the call is not to say no to some behavior or things. The call is to say no to yourself. To yourself. It's not that you tell, you just stop lying. You have to tell yourself. You have to deny yourself the right and the privilege of lying to other people. You have to deny yourself that right. Nobody else can do. Nobody will force. They may think they're making you tell a lie, but you can take the abuse or whatever happens if you make the choice yourself. Not to do something, you will be willing to suffer the consequences because you made the decision yourself. It's more than just being negative. You're going to have to give up something. You're going to have to do without something. Means that we are to act positively and say yes to Christ and no to self. It means to let Christ rule and reign in our heart and lives. To let Christ have his way completely. If a person allows Christ to rule in his life, all negative as well as positive behaviors will be taken care of. Go to the doctor tell you you got cancer. Everything's still going to be all right because I'm leaning and depending on Christ. Because I know that this world is not my home. I'm just a stranger traveling through. That my home is in glory. And when I leave this body, Paul says somewhere in one of his letters, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's where you get when you get committed to Christ. It's not that you're in a hurry to leave here. Someone have already said this morning, you can't leave until your time to leave. But you can prepare to leave before your time get here. I'm glad you asked. By the commitment that you make to Lord Jesus Christ, you say, for God I live and for God I die. You have to make that commitment. You have to surrender all. You have to lay everything down except the word of God. And when you lay everything down except the word of God, you will feel like ain't nobody on your side but you. But you know, when you got Jesus and you just you got enough, you don't need anybody else. I can walk by myself because I got Jesus on my side. Don't feel like it sometime, but I got Jesus on my side because he said he would not leave me nor forsake me. And I have committed my life to him. I've said no to myself and I have denied myself. But I just got to tell you the truth, y'all. Sometimes when you deny yourself and you commit your life to God, it doesn't seem like you're walking with him. It seems like everything that can go bad, it does go bad. And I look at old Joe Blow over there, who doesn't go to anybody's church, don't profess to be a child of God, and everything he or she wants to do seems to come out all right. And here I am, God, I'm trying to do your will, and nothing seemed to go right in my life. I go to the doctor, I feel all right. Then they tell me I got cancer in the stage number four. That means I don't have long to live. But God, I see Joe Blow, who does nothing for you. And everything seemed to be going all right. But I have committed my life to him, and I'm going to stand on the word of God. Oh, yes, I am, because I'm committed to him. It might not seem like it, but I'm going to stand the course. I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to stay on his word, because he said, what you need, just ask me, and I'll give it to you. See, sometimes we look at what we got in this world as what we have. It's not worth much. I like to say it ain't, so none of y'all won't have to leave. But God will provide just what you need when you make the commitment to him. You got to commit no matter what happened, no matter who leaves you or who stays. You got to stay with God because he won't leave you. When everybody else go home, he will be there. All you got to do is just call him. And I promise you he will be there. The believer has to take up his cross. The hymn writer said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Then he turned right around and answered, said, no, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. See, sometimes we think the cross is all physical, but I stop by to tell you there's a spiritual cross that you must bear. Nobody see you look like you're doing all right, and everything is okay. Your health is good. and you're walking with God and things seem to be going all right, and all of a sudden you get a burden that you got to carry and you can't give it to nobody else. You've got to carry it for yourself. Mama and Papa are doing well and they're walking with God, and they see you walking with them too, and they are proud of you because they didn't see you walking with God. But if they could see the burden that you were bearing, they'd be praying for you. But you won't tell them because it's your burden to bear. See, sometime God will give you a burden that you have to bear that you can't share with nobody, but you just got to bear the burden because you said you'd walk for me. You'd go do what I said for you to do, and this is the burden that you have to bear. Nobody can bear it for you. You got to take your own cross. Everybody got one. If you could see the cross that the other person is carrying and you put them all in a pile, when you come back and look at them, you'd pick up your own because it's not that bad. God will provide just what you need if you make the commitment to serve him. Listen, God won't leave you. No, he won't leave you. May seem like sometime that you're by yourself. To me, I figured out why God do me like that. He want to see, say, do you trust me? Do you know that? Do it look like if I'm not there? Do you still know that I'm there? When it seemed like nobody, the whole world is against you, you yet stand because God said, I will not leave you, not forsake you. When you're committed to him, you don't want to leave him. God won't have anything to happen to me that he's not going to get the glory from. All I got to do is trust him. And if at any time you feel like God have left you and neglected you, remember the cross. Remember the cross. Because Jesus hung on that cross, and he was there way back over in Genesis when he said, let there be. And he watched him. He stood there. And I can tell y'all who he was thinking about. He was thinking about me. A wretch undone. That boy gonna need saving. Just anybody can't save him. I'll let my son die. Because he gonna come along and he gonna have to prove to other people that he's committed to me. Because they gonna treat him bad. They gonna do that. But he gonna have to stand. God won't leave you. A lot of your best friends might do that, and you have some that'll stay. But God won't ever leave you. And you know why those that will stay with you stay with you? Because God won't let them leave you. You become their burden, and they're somebody else's burden. That's why we must help one another bear their cross. That's why, just because you see this person, they always smile and everything is happy, that mean you ain't supposed to pray for them. Sometimes we smile the biggest when the burden is the heaviest. We let it go all the way to the back because we don't want you to think there's something wrong. If we walk around with a long face all the time, you know something's wrong. We want to fool you too, just like you fool us. All right, I'm going to get on, so I won't start milling. A person that's committed to Christ must follow him. Stand right there. Stand right there, right there. I want you to follow me. We are not going anywhere now. We are not doing anything. But he is anointed to follow me. And I'm not going anywhere. If he hadn't been with me for a while, he probably would have gone back and took his seat by now. But he know if he would have gone back and tried to get a seat, I would have grabbed him. Because he's anointed to follow me. See, Christ won't have you to follow him if he does not have some place for you to go and something for you to do. See, it took him some time to get the movement in. Now, there's a message in that too. Sometimes God tells you to do something and you don't do it. And confession is good for the soul. That's where I am right now with God. God done told me to do something. And I'm stubborn. I haven't done it yet. And guess what? I'm going to do just like you did. I've hesitated. And now I'm going to go ahead and do what God told me to do. Don't feel bad. Or don't let the devil beat you up. Because you don't hurry up and move when God said for you to move. But the main point of the message is that you need to be moving. When God puts you to doing something, you need to be constantly moving because Jesus is not. You can take your seat next. Jesus is not a stationary God. Jesus is always on the move. Even when you stop, he's still on the move because he's already prepared the way for you where you need to go. Point number two. One other thing before I leave point number one. The steps of Christ led him to his earthly death. So, if Christ's steps led him to death, what do you think yours will do? I say this almost every first Sunday. Something about you need to die. Some of the things that you are doing need to die. Some of them might not be sin, but you need to quit doing it. Point number two. Jesus' death offers arguments for total commitment. Jesus' death offers some arguments for total commitment. For total commitment. One of the arguments is that if we abandon the abandonment of this life saves a person's life. I'm not lost. The abandonment of this life saves a person's life. A person saves his, the scripture in this means a person save his life by losing it. And he loses his life by finding it. The key to that is the next three words in that when it says, for my sake. When you lose your life on this earth, you find your life in Christ. And it says, when you lose your life for my sake. Don't lose your life just for anything. Lose your life for the sake of Christ. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. A person must abandon this life. Must abandon this life, and then you must give sacrificially all and give all that he or she is or has to Christ. And it does not mean you become homeless, but you give it all to Christ. Give Christ the benefit or the credit for everything that you have. Because when you live for Christ, your life will exemplify him everywhere you go and no matter what you do. You might not see it, or you might not believe it, but if you are walking with God, your life will exemplify that. A lot of people, if they've known you for 3 or 4 days, they'll know whether you're walking with God or not. You might think that you're not. You might think nobody knows you. Nobody noticed you. But when you are walking with God, everything will be all right. It won't seem like it. It won't seem like it. It might not look like it, but it will be. And you have to stay with God. When everything else fails, you need to stay with God. It doesn't matter what goes on around you. You need to not see it. You need to be looking for God. When you give up this life, you come to Christ. And Christ will provide just what you need. Might not seem like it. Everything else may get your attention away from Christ. But you have to have tunnel vision. You have to focus on Christ. If you focus on everything else, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. But you have to stay focused on God. You have to, like the choir. It doesn't matter what seemed to happen. You expect the choir to keep singing. But you just, anything that happens, it's no, you have to have tunnel vision. You have to stay focused on, that's the way your life needs to be when you're living for Christ. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing in your community, in your house, everywhere. You have to stay focused on Christ. Because you have given your life to him. So therefore you have said, I surrender all. I surrender all mean this stuff over here, it doesn't bother me. I'm still focused on God. It's not that I don't care, but I'm focused on God. I need to stay with God because he is the reason why I have, who I have submitted my life to. Oh yeah. And it's good to care about other people. But you need to worry about your soul. I love all of y'all. I love every one of you. But I ain't gonna let that one of you get between me and God. All you gotta do is just try. You'll find out. You will not come between me and God because I have tunnel vision and my mind and my vision is not stayed on you and what's going on. It's on Christ Jesus, and that's where we need to keep it in our life, because I have committed my life to give up this life, because this life will soon be over. And then you have to give an account of everything that you've done in this body. And that determines where you will spend eternity. A man or a woman's soul is worth more than the whole wide world. That's a bold statement. All the value of this world, it is worth more than that. All the Rolex watches, Deacon Journey and the Bentleys. Your soul is worth more than that. The American Express card that you have in your wallet. Your soul is worth more than that. Because you can't buy your soul. You can't purchase it. You don't have enough to. Because what it costs for your soul, Christ paid that. You can't pay that. So your soul is worth more than this whole wide world. There are two stages, two beings, two existences to the same life. You have an earthly life and you have a heavenly life. You have a physical life, you have a spiritual life. And so therefore, we need to decide which one has the greatest value. Some of us, and I said us, including me, we worry about how this physical body looks. Contrary to the way I look now, I do worry about how I look. I do worry about that because I try to take care of it physically. I try to take care of it physically. Do we do the same thing to take care of it spiritually? We let the spiritual man take care of himself. We let the preacher come here and preach to us from 12:15 to 12, maybe 12:30 or 12:35, and that ought to take care of my soul. You are giving the preacher too big of a job. You ought to be concerned about your own soul. The preacher can't save you. He can tell you who can, but you have to make a decision to come to him, because your spiritual life is the life that will live past this world. I have yet to see a U-Haul going in the cemetery to take all the stuff that we accumulate here on earth with us to the grave. The most they gonna take in there, and if they leave any flowers there, they won't be alive for long. They take it, everything they take in is dead that they're going to leave there, because all the people that are alive, I watch y'all when y'all go to cemetery. Y'all hurry up and get out of there, because you know that's the habitat of people that we call dead. And we don't want to be around them too long, because we may become. Yeah. But you need to worry about your spiritual life and your commitment to Christ. You need to be totally committed to him, so that when you leave this side, bat your eyes. When you die, if you're with Christ, you'll be in heaven just that fast. By the time you bat your eyes, the spirit of the man will be there. This earthly body will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It will not, because that's a spiritual world. To be with God or to be apart from God, that's what we're living for. If we are not living to be with God, we're living to be away from God. One of the two. Doesn't matter how you try to fix it up. You are either living to spend eternity with God or to spend eternity away from God. Now I can't make it no plainer than that. That's the way it's going to be. You're either going to be with God, are you going to be away from God? And you can fool the preacher while you're down here. You know how to act holy. And I can tell you why you know how to do that. You watch me or somebody else and you compare yourself as being holy to us. And we ain't that holy either. So what you're comparing yourself, you need to compare yourself against Christ. Not saying we're not. The holiness of Christ is the pureness of him. There's no sin nowhere around him, because he's pure. And we are holy because we are coming through him. You just need to, you need to get in this word and stay in this word. Our souls are valuable for numerous reasons. One of the reasons is that it will not fade away. It's going to be here forever. This body that we have, that some of us are so proud of, is fading every day. Every day. It's fading. It's getting older. It's deteriorating. That suit that you paid $500 for, it's faith. That car that you think so much of, or that truck that you think so much of, the minute you drove it off the lot, it depreciated. So everything loses its value except your soul. It's all for value. And we accumulate a lot of stuff. Well, I'm gonna get. I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna get myself in trouble. In my closet at the house. 1, 2. I have 5 extra pair of shoes in the closet that I only wear on the weekend or when I'm going to church. This makes the 6 pair. I only have 1 set of footsies. Only 1 set. But I got 6 pairs of shoes, including these, at the house that I wear on Sunday. Got 2 pair that I wear if I'm going to just walk around outside. Got another pair I wear if I'm going to go to the gym. Got a pair of boots in the closet I haven't had on since 2 or 3 years. So we accumulate all this stuff. Yeah. And can only use it one at a time. One at a time. How many souls do you have? Just 1. And we won't make sure that it is in the right place. I'm talking about commitment to Christ, surrendering everything you have. All this other stuff just won't matter. But you have to make that commitment to Christ. Make that commitment to Christ. And when you make that commitment to Christ in this life, it will seem as if you are wasting your time. Some of your friends on the job, for those of you that have one, if they find out you spent Sunday morning in church and you could have been home getting ready for the Super Bowl, they might talk bad about you. We need to remember that the soul is eternal. The soul is not stuff. You only have 1. You need to make sure of where your soul will spend eternity. Brothers and sisters, and let me just tell you, just in case you have not heard, hell is real. Have I been there? No, I haven't, but I've caught enough of it down here to know that it's real there. And the Bible says that it's real. That's reason enough for me. The Bible says. And if you spend eternity in hell, it was not made for the children of God. It was made for Satan and his imps. And I am not going to be one of Satan's imps. I'm not going to be with him because I have committed my life to Christ. When I was one of his, I served him faithfully. And don't look at me funny. You did too. Because you were a full-fledged sinner. And so now you come to Christ, and we need to be that way with him. Need to give him everything we have. You can't buy your soul. And it's one thing you need to rest assured of and remember. The day of judgment is coming. When Christ returns, the true value of the sacrifice versus self-satisfaction will be clearly seen. Those that are self-centered will not come to Christ. Self-centered people don't care anything about anybody else but themselves. They don't care anything about you. The devil is self-centered. He doesn't care. He wants you to go with him. We used to say, I don't know what he still said now, is that misery loves company. The devil is miserable. And he wants your company. See, because he's been to heaven. He's seen everything that's there. But he decided, he made a choice that he wanted to be in control. Self-centered. Self-pride. Pride. Building himself up. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Do all. And ended up in hell. A place that was made especially for him.
So, but we need to remember that the day of judgment is coming, and we do not need to be when Jesus comes back after his church, he does not need to tell you to depart from me, for I never knew you. Because if he tells you that, you have not been lived a committed life to him. And the one thing that I love about it, he doesn't say you got to have been committed to me for 50 years. You just have to make a commitment and stay with it. Brothers and sisters, and let me help some of y'all. It doesn't mean that you're going to live sinless the rest of your life. And I'm not putting crutches under your arm. But when you a child of God and you sin, you can get ready to suffer. Because God going to discipline you. Mama or papa might not discipline when you messed up at home, but God will discipline you if you commit your life to him. How he going to discipline you, I don't know. But he will. Maybe you just, when you lay down at night and put your head right here, you turn over, you turn over, you turn over, and you do that all night long. You wake up the next morning, and you're able to go to work, but you're tired. You come home the next night and go to bed, and you do the same thing. Lord, I ain't slept in two nights. He's disciplining you. That may be just, maybe some other way. It may be something that's just stay on your mind all the time. What you need to do, and you won't do it. Because, well, I don't want to do it. You wronged somebody, and you don't want to say I'm sorry. You just, I'll show that joke. I ain't gonna tell him nothing. And you just keep bothering. We need to understand that God will discipline us because the day of judgment is coming. And when we allow him to discipline us, it's not nice being disciplined. You don't want to be disciplined. But you must be because you have gone contrary to your master's will. And when you go contrary to his will, he says, those whom I love, I chase them. And that means he gets you. So you just need to prepare yourself for being disciplined when you mess up. I didn't say if, when. Y'all might not never do that. A promise is given here in these passages. A promise of never having to taste death. That's the power in the kingdom. That God is a God of the living, not of the dead. The promise is that you will live forever. Doesn't mean that you're going to die. A spiritual death. Or you might do what we call die here. But remember we said earlier, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Christians enter into the kingdom of God because you have lived for him. It does not mean that you're not going to die a physical death. But you will be resurrected. That's the promise that we have because of what we're doing here today. We're going to observe the communion. That's what we observe the communion and show and giving honor to his resurrection. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Didn't ask us to remember when he was born, but he said, do this, talking about the taking of the communion, in remembrance of me. And this is what we need to do. We need to surrender everything that we have to Christ. And I'll say this again because so many people think when you surrender, you become a weak impotent and everybody do everything they want to you. That's not the way it is. I think about Peter. Peter surrendered to Christ. But you didn't want to mess with Peter. Yeah. Uh-huh. He surrendered his spiritual man. Didn't say anything about the physical part. But it got later where he mellowed out because of seeing Christ working. Most of us probably know people that were mean and contrary and trifling and all that. But when they came to Christ, they were different people because Christ had overcome them and overshadowed them, and they just did the work of Christ. That's the way we need to be. But you don't have to let people mistreat you because you were born again and saved. In case y'all don't know it, there are some mean folks that's Christians. Mm-hmm. Don't look at nobody else. Just keep looking straight ahead. Because if you look at them, they may think you think it's them. But I'm telling you, there are some mean people that are Christian people. But when Christ come back, all that's going to be changed. And most of them, I'm finding out of that way because somebody before they got saved were awful mean and trifling to them. And that's the only way they know to be. But I stop by to tell you that Jesus Christ is the answer. He can humble you and people will not mistreat you. Because some of them won't mistreat you because they'll remember how you were when you weren't saved. And they'll be scared someone's going to come at you. So we just need to make sure that our commitment is to Christ Jesus. And when we're committed to him, he will take care of us. But don't you try to take care of yourself. You just live for God. And when you live for God and you surrender all that you are and that you have to him, I'm a living witness. He'll take care. When you get in situations that you can't do anything about, just remember that you have surrendered. When you remember to whom you have surrendered, then he will take care of you. When you get in situations where you can't do anything about it, you get in situations where people will tell you, say, you don't have enough money to get out of this. What do you do then? The doctor tells you that I've done all that I can do. What do you do then? You have to show enough proof that you have surrendered everything to Christ Jesus. And then when we get our back against the wall, we say, Lord, I can't handle this. And that's all he's waiting on us to say. That means that I have surrendered everything to you, God, and I have stopped trying to do anything about any of this. I have surrendered it all to you. And when we surrender it all to God, it's already done. It's taken care of. But we have to come to the position ourselves where we surrender everything to him. He won't take it away from you. That's why some of our situations have not been solved today. We still trying to handle them. Give them to him and leave them alone. Surrender everything to Christ. I'm through. If you are at a point in your life where you are willing to surrender everything to Christ, this is your time.